Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Kids Meet. This is the podcast where we meet exciting, famous and all around amazing people. And here to introduce us to someone brand new this week, it's Bex. Good morning, hello, good afternoon. Hello, Bex.
I love all those greetings. Hello, Sean, how are you?
Who are you chatting to this week?
Oh, so many people. The postman, my dad, you, but probably the one we're here to talk about is Sophie Doll.
In one plot twist, one week, we're going to get the postman, the dad, we're going to get all those people on Fun Kids Meets, which would probably make for a very interesting episode.
Oh, they could tell you some stuff about me, I'm sure.
But we have lovely Sophie Doll on this week, who is the granddaughter of someone who you may know, Mr. Roald Dahl, off of Classic Books.
Yes, so she's followed in the family trade. Sophie Doll is now a children's author, and she's got a brand new book out. And yeah, I mean, she's learned from the best, let's face it. Did you know Sophie was the inspiration for the character Sophie in the BFG?
Do you know what? I did know that.
Did know that. I've taught you well, young Sean. She's also, yes, the granddaughter of OG children's author Roald Dahl. So yeah, she has some pedigree, she has some big boots to fill, she has some shoes to fit into. I don't know why I can't stop talking about shoes.
But it's true though, that was the first thing that came to mind. One, when your grandfather is one of the most legendary authors of all time, how do you go about even thinking about following that legacy?
Well, that's such a philosophical question, and not one I asked her, Sean. It felt a bit too heavy-handed to ask that question. But I can say that her book is beautiful. Not only is it, it's not like Roald Dahl books. It's a bit more of a slight kind of a picture book, I would say.
So she's doing her own thing, which is what we like to see.
Different to Roald Dahl, I say, and the pictures she's got in it are beautiful, they're so cool, and the book itself is all about a big old sleepover. And also I really resonated hard with it because when I was a kid, I don't know whether you had this, you'd have friends over to stay and then after a while you'd be like, I'm bored now, and you've kind of interrupted my general day-to-day life, please can you leave.
A nice insight into Bex's mind there.
Kind of, and that's what happens in the book with the main character,
because the book's the worst sleepover in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, the girl who they get to come over is a little bit annoying. But it turns out she's maybe just a bit more scared of being away from home. That's probably what it is.
I thought you were first going to say, I resonated with this book well because I just always used to have terrible sleepovers.
I had good sleepovers, but you know, there are some. You know, when you've got a guest coming over and you're like, oh no, oh, you're going to ruin this day for me. It's a bit like that. That's what it is.
Also, on the front cover, looking at the characters, the one in the middle holding the white flag gives me Anna Louise vibes, who presents weekends on Fun Kids.
Oh, really? Hadn't thought of that, but I'll have to check it out again. I'll have to go back and have a little look. Sorry, I should give you some little extra snippets of stuff from this interview, shouldn't I, really?
Give us some behind-the-scenes gossip.
So it turned out when we logged on to have the chat, Sophie Doll was nearly as excited to speak to me as I was to speak to her. Because
here we go. La-dee-da.
She's a Fun Kids fan. And she said at breakfast that morning, her and her kids were talking about how she was about to speak to me. And I was like, what? And she said, yeah, we love listening to Fun Kids. I'm very excited to speak to you. And she also at one point said, oh, I must go and get my husband's headphones. And I was like, your husband's Jamie Cullum, actual jazz artist. That's really cool. So yeah, she is a Fun Kids listener, a Fun Kids fan. Sophie, if you're listening to this, hello. And she was a delight. And it got to a point where you can probably hear midway through the interview, I forget I'm interviewing her and I think of her as just a friend I'm chatting to. So,
but that's always nice, isn't it?
It was lovely. We got on so well that, yeah, I just was like, I just want to be her. I want to go and sleep over at her house. I think I'd be a really good guest.
I mean, maybe that should be, that could be the next interview for the sequel. I can imagine a nice gimmicky interview like that would be fun.
I reckon she's somebody who's got really lovely, soft kind of blankets. I think she'd provide the best popcorn. I reckon she would know all of the coolest films to watch. I just think Sophie and I would be best friends.
Good blankets, popcorn and film taste. I love it. That's the vibe. That's the vibe. And it's a good vibe. So let's find out more about the sleepover, which sounds the opposite of the one that you just suggested, about the worst sleepover ever, as Sophie Doll chats to Bex.
I am joined right now by the author, Sophie Doll. Hey, Sophie, how are you going?
Hi, Bex. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I have read your book and it is one of the sweetest books. It's really put me in a lovely mood for the day, so thank you for that.
Has it made you ready for a sleepover?
It's made me ready for a sleepover, but it's also made me want to control the sleepover to within an inch of its life. That's what it's done to me.
I think this is a sensible response to the book.
Because, of course, your new book, The Worst Sleepover in the World, it brought back a lot of memories for me when I was younger, having sleepovers and planning the biggest, like, bestest bonanza, like, plenty of parties. But actually, it never goes according to plan, does it?
Never goes according to plan. I've decided that sleepovers are a bit like New Year's Eve, where you go into it with the best of intentions. You think you're going to have the most amazing time, and then it never quite goes according to plan.
It's always quite tricky, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, and that seems to be every sleepover I've been to, every sleepover we've had at our house. It seems to be a universal thing.
Well, we had a sleepover once where my mum and dad had got cooked pizzas for everybody. And then while we'd had our back turned, the dog ate the pizza. So that was immediately gone.
Well, it's normally the dog eating the pizza or somebody's sick. That's that's also the other one that seems to be high up there. I was telling my kids this morning that I once went on a sleepover where the mum told me just before I went to sleep that they had a poltergeist in their house. I was awake most of the night. I was so scared. And she said they had a poltergeist that threw spoons and forks. So I just went to bed in mortal terror.
Oh, why would you tell anybody that, let alone a visitor in your house?
I don't know. It's strange. It was the 80s.
It's a different time, different time.
Different time.
Well, in your book, you have lovely Ramona and you have her pal Gracie, who comes round for what is expected to be the party of the season, let's face it. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens at this big sleepover?
So Ramona and her sister Ruby are really excited because Gracie is coming for their first ever sleepover. They've planned it all week. They're going to dance like wild things. They're going to throw putty on the ceiling. They're going to eat all these exotic snacks. And then Gracie gets there and Gracie has lots of likes and dislikes. And it just starts feeling not so fun. There are fun bits, but it starts gradually just feeling not so fun. And Mum is stuck in the middle. So it's about, I guess, navigating expectations and friendships.
It is, because it's that first friendship, it's their first sleepover, it's a really big deal. And, you know, in your head, you think sleepover, you think midnight feast, you think watching movies, playing games, chatting all night. Often what happens is you're asleep by 8 p.m. and you've only had like a nibble of a sandwich. But still, the expectation is there. But I think slowly but surely, Ramona's realising that maybe Gracie's not the most fun person she expected.
I think Gracie is really just a bit anxious because she's only been on one other sleepover and that hasn't gone so well. So I think what happens is Gracie starts to unravel a bit and she starts telling stories that are, you can tell there's a real edge to them. So all of her stories have a slightly tragic bent, and mum is really trying to keep the whole thing, the show, on the road. I think the other big piece of it is it's about how everything, however old you are, always feels better in the morning.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Mum is a hero, by the way, because she says that. She says, I think tomorrow morning will all be a bit better. And not only is she wise, she's also great at making pancakes. So she's there in the morning making them up.
She looks a little bit tired, a little bit frayed, but she's making pancakes.
I loved her. There's a line, which I'm sure if parents read it as well, they will absolutely clock this. There's a bit where she talks about how she used to work dancing on a Saturday night. And there's like a slight level of like, but you know, things change. Expectations vary. Don't worry about it. So I'm sure kids and parents will love this book in very different ways.
Thank you. I hope so.
Tell me, were you a little bit inspired by 5 Minutes Peace as an author from years ago, Murphy?
She's called Jill Murphy. So Jill Murphy, yeah. So Jill Murphy also wrote The Worst Witch. 5 Minutes Peace is a classic. So yeah, that's about the Large family, and Mrs. Large is just trying to go off and have a bath in peace, but her kids just keep wanting her attention, and her bath just is not the piece it's meant to be. Yeah, I think that that story is a classic in our house. It's and again, I think it's both kids and parents can really relate to it.
Absolutely. Well, who did you relate to more? Were you relating to the kid characters because you obviously you've been a kid yourself and you've got kids, or were you relating to mum thinking, poor old mum, she needs to catch a break here?
I think probably a bit of both, because I do understand that feeling that you need to do your recorder solo right then and there to your mum, even if she's having a bath or read a bit from your book. And also I do understand as a parent that sometimes you just want to actually go into the bathroom and shut the door and not have anyone come in.
When it comes to your ideal sleepover, what would you plan? What would you make sure happens on the perfect sleepover?
My ideal sleepover would have, I would have lots of salted chocolate. I like chocolate. I like a mix of sweet and savoury. It would have some really good movies. What would I watch? Or actually, I'd watch Anne with an E back to back. Have you watched that at all?
I haven't, but a lot of people have told me I would love it.
It's so good. I would watch that. I would have salted chocolate. I might dance like a wild thing. And would I throw putty at the ceiling? Maybe. What would yours be?
Well, I was thinking about this. I think I would have lots of popcorn, lots of chocolate, like yourself. I'm a big chocolate fan. I think I'd have ambitions to stay up until 4 in the morning. But I think I'd fall asleep at about 11, probably, maybe 12.
I think I would fall asleep at 9. So you're currently winning.
And I think I would have a little Disney marathon. I think I'm talking like Coco, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, like lots of back-to-back Disney films. I think that's what I'd go for. Sophie, you've made me really, really want a sleepover now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what this book should do. And not tell me, make do you, you have dread one.
No, absolutely not. Do you have a perfect pancake recipe as well? Are you like mum in this? Are you an excellent pancake maker?
I'm a good pancake maker. Yeah, I do. I do good crepes with Nutella or with sugar and lemon. But also I make, because I lived in America for a long time, I make good American dollar pancakes, the thick ones.
Oh, nice. So we're all going to come around to your house for pancakes, right?
Yeah, you're welcome to stay up all night and then eat my pancakes.
Amazing. Now, before I let you go, Sophie, I do a little kind of quick fire round with authors on Fun Kids. So I just wanted to do that with you now, if that's okay. A kind of this or that kind of game, if that's right. Lovely stuff. So first up is super easy. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Everyone says it. Heroes or villains?
Ooh, both.
Ooh, okay. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
TV.
Night owl or early bird?
Night owl.
Writing or reading?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. That's, for some reason, every author finds that question very difficult to answer.
it's really tricky to answer that one.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I thought that'd be a really easy one, but nobody's enjoyed that question so far. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Ooh. Ooh. Hogwarts.
Okay, I appreciate it took you a little time there. Do you use your laptop or do you write by hand?
I used to write by hand, and then I really had a case of the dog eating my homework because I was staying with someone and I left my notebook downstairs and the dog ate it.
No! Yeah. So you learned your lesson?
Yeah, and that was with my first novel. And so ever after that, I wrote on a computer.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, I can understand why. Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write whenever you fancy?
I write, when do I write? I write probably 10 till 3.
Oh, very civilised hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Lovely. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
That was very definite. Yeah. And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes! It's the best one.
Salt and vinegar. Cheese and onion's a bit unsociable.
Yes! Thank you. Yes.
It's unsociable.
Honestly, you could have said anything through the questions. It's just that one I care about the most, to be honest. Before I let you go, I just want to give a shout out as well to your illustrator, because your story is brilliant, but also the pictures in the book are beautiful as well. You must have been super happy with how it all came together.
He's so brilliant. He's called Luciano Lozano, and his pictures are so, so funny. I'd seen another book that he illustrated, which I loved, and it made me laugh out loud. And when I thought of this book in my head, his pictures just made it totally, totally come to life. I can't imagine the characters any other way.
Oh my goodness. They just, those pictures capture the spirit of the book so well and just compliment your writing. You must have been thrilled with it.
So thrilled. And also just like, when I first held a copy in my hands, I just laughed because I love also, there's a particular picture of Gracie when she's really, really tired and past it at the end of the night, where she's about to have what she calls a very big shout, and he really gets it.
It's honestly, it's such a wonderful book. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, lovely Sophie Dahl.
Oh, I really think we could be best friends, Sean. Honestly, Sophie, if you're listening, just drop me an email, funkidslive.com. Just drop me a little line and we'll sort it out.
I think if there is the worst sleepover too, or the even worse than last time sleepover, I think whatever interview or podcast you do with Sophie Dahl has to be some sort of sleepover.
Please, can that be a thing? Honestly, I know you're joking, but I genuinely would love that so much. A sleepover with Sophie Dahl in a house having a lovely time. Yes, please.
Yep, that sounds excellent. Thank you, Bex.
Thank you, Sean.
And you can hear from more interesting and excellent people by getting over to the Fun Kids website, funkidslive.com, and checking out our interviews there, or by smashing the follow button, and then you can catch the Fun Kids Meets podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll see you next week. Bye.